Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
This is Grave Confessions from the Grave Talks. Daily, raw, real, and disturbing accounts of the living, interacting with the dead. To share your grave confession, experience with the paranormal, supernatural, or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813. Now, today's grave confession.
Hi, Tony, Harper, Carol, and Todd. My name is Lindsay. I'm calling from Calgary, Alberta. That's in Canada. And I've been listening for about a year now. I love ghost stories, and I love your show. Lots of great stories to be heard. I was just listening tonight to the episode called When You're Not Wanted by Spirits. And sorry, I didn't catch the guy's name, but there was someone on there who was talking about Portal in his house as a child and all the ways that people in his life have been negatively affected while living in that house. And it made me think of a house that we lived in. Nothing like a portal that I could see anyway. I just thought maybe I'd share it in case. I don't know. It's interesting, I guess. So my partner and I lived in a house with a roommate years ago. I think it was around 2003 to 2005. And there wasn't anything, like when we went to see it, there wasn't anything weird about it. It was an old house, probably built about 100 years ago. It was a little bit run down, but it was fine. It was, you know, one of those houses that you rent because it's close to areas of the city that you want to be in, but and the rent is affordable, but it wasn't anything especially special. And we had the main floor, and then there was a woman upstairs who rented the upper floor. One thing about the house that we did notice right away was that it was always dark, and I mean that was very explainable because there was an apartment building directly to the south of us, so sunlight didn't really reach it, but it was always kind of spooky. It had one of those weird, well, I say one of those weird rooms in the basement, but I don't know that this is a common thing. Basically, in the basement in a corner, there was this room that someone had just kind of built in with like sort of barn board. And I guess maybe it was meant to be a cold room, but in my experience, a cold room was kind of dug into the floor as dirt, or I don't know. This was just like a regular concrete unfinished basement. And they had just built this room in the corner with two walls coming out of the corner to make it a square, but then they had painted it like fire engine red, like it was bright red. So, and it had a latch on it. Like it was just really strange, and we couldn't see any purpose for this room. So that was kind of weird right off the bat, but you know, no big deal. But we did start to notice things pretty soon. You know, I think we'd only been there a month or two when we had, as you do, some boxes full of stuff in storage in the basement, and that included an old Furby, because like I said, it was the early 2000s, so a lot of us of my generation had an old Furby in a box somewhere. And one night at 3 a.m., we hadn't gone to bed yet, because I was in college at the time, and you know, we were night owl, and but the Furby started just like chattering in the basement randomly in a box. Like we had to dig it out of the box to turn it off. So again, could be explainable as an electronic, but it just kind of gave us the creeps. And another thing, I was part of for years, one of those mentorship programs like Big Brother, Big Sister. It wasn't Big Brothers and Big Sisters, but I mentored this little girl for years. And she was at our house one night, and the way that it was set up, the back kind of side door, you could sit on the steps right by the door, and you know, you'd sit there to put your shoes on or whatever, and you could see sort of down the stairs into the basement. And she was sitting there putting on her shoes, and she just said out of nowhere, "Well, I just saw a cat run by in the basement." And we didn't have any pets of any sort. And no. We said, what? And she wasn't super little, like small enough to have a really active imagination. She was about 9 and she wasn't prone to this kind of thing. I'd hung out with her for a couple of years by this point. And she said, yeah, I thought I just saw a white fluffy cat run by in the basement. So that was another kind of funny thing. And a couple other things, and then I'll get to sort of the negative effect on people. But one day my partner was down in the basement at the doing laundry, and the way that the washer and dryer were set up, you'd stand, if you're standing facing the washer and dryer, your back was to the stairs. And I'll tell my side of it first. I came home from wherever I had been, work or school or whatever, and his eyes were like as wide as saucers, and he just looked really freaked out, kind of like almost like when an animal, he's like, what have you seen? I was like, what is wrong with you? And he wouldn't really say for a while. And then finally he told me he'd been standing at the washer and dryer, and he heard someone whisper his name loudly behind him. And now years later, he swears it never happened, which is quite funny to me. But yeah, he heard somebody whisper his name behind him. And then the last thing that actually happened there, and kind of the most noteworthy, or the last thing I guess I can remember, I feel like there were other things that I'm forgetting, but was that, so basically that backside door, when you would close it, it was always, I don't know what this design was, it was kind of weird, but it was always automatically locked. So if it closed, it was locked. You had to have a key if you let the door close, or you had to prop the door open. So there wasn't any way to forget to lock it, because the doorknob or something, I can't remember exactly how it worked, but it was always locked. And so, like I said, we had a roommate. She slept in a separate bedroom, and she had an office job. And like I said, my partner and I were kind of night owls. So she had gone to bed one night, a little on the earlier side, and we were going to go out, like to the bar, clubbing or whatever, dancing. And so we left after she had gone to bed, and closed the door after us, as we always did, and came home around, I don't know, two in the morning. We left around 11, came home around 2 in the morning. She had gone to bed around 10. And, we didn't see her because we got home late, and then she left early in the morning. And when she got home from work the next day, she said, oh, why'd you guys come back last night? And we were like, well, what are you talking about? We'll come back. And she said, well, I heard you guys leave to go out. But then a while later, like 20 minutes later, I heard you come back in, and you were walking around. And we had not gone back. We did not go back. So what she had heard was the back door open and close, somebody walking around on the main floor. We had hardwood floors and then linoleum in the kitchen. And she had heard someone walking around, and we had never gone in. So, I mean, I don't know which is scarier, if it was like a ghost or something like that, or if someone actually broke into our house. I think it's scarier if someone broke into our house. But either way, that was creepy. We never figured that one out. There was nothing out of place or missing or anything like that. So I don't know. So then to get on to the affecting people negatively, I will say that, like I said, it always seemed dark in there. There wasn't anything really inherently creepy about the house except for that weird room in the basement. But yeah, it just always felt dark. And I am prone to anxiety, but it had never manifested itself in a way that really was like debilitating to me. Like it would be more, I would get overwhelmed by life when too many things piled on, and then I would kind of have a little breakdown one night, and then I'd rearrange my life a little and I'd be better again. And while I lived in that house, it was like, it got to the point where after I graduated from college, while we lived there for the 6 months afterwards, I just got so, so anxious. I couldn't get out of bed a lot of days. When I would get out of bed, I would just kind of make my way to the couch and then just watch daytime TV all day. You know, obviously sometimes I'd have to go to work and I would go to work. But if I didn't have to be somewhere, I would just be on the couch and often like crying or kind of hiding under the blankets. Like it was awful. And that is the only time when we lived there, that is the only time that I have ever had thoughts of like, I'll say harming myself. I didn't try anything. It didn't go that far, but I've never in my life at any other time, like that's not something that I'm prone to at all. And I had really, really dark thoughts while we lived there. And in that vein, for a while, for in the fall of the last year that we lived there, my partner's brother came to live with us. He was kind of trying to get on his feet. He's always had problems. He's got learning disabilities and depression and a bunch of things like that. But he's generally fairly pleasant to be around for the most part. Like he was great to have. He moved in with us, and he was great to have around because he would always compliment me on my cooking, and he was just generally pretty positive. And after being in the house about a month, one night he just got super angry, stopped talking to us and left, and then didn't talk to us for a few months afterwards. And it was the strangest thing. He had never acted that way with us before. He never has since. Like, he's a pretty chill guy despite all his issues. So that was weird. And then we got married while we lived there, and we went on a honeymoon for about 3 weeks to Europe. And we had gotten a cat by this point. So this was later. I know I said we didn't have any pets when the little girl was there. We didn't, but by this point we had gotten a cat. And so when we went on our honeymoon, we had this good friend of ours come stay in the house and house sit. And he didn't have to stay there all the time, but he kind of chose to. He'd stay with the cat, and he kept an eye on the place. Our roommate had moved out by that point. And he contacted us about 2 weeks into our trip. And now, mind you, our friend was, he did have pretty serious depression. So this was something that had been a pattern of his. He had a history of, like, thoughts of self-harm or attempts at self-harm. And he contacted us via email while we were on our honeymoon in Europe and said, "I'm so sorry, but I have to leave. I will come back each day and check on the cat, but I can't stay in your house anymore. I'm really depressed, and I need to go be at home." And it turned out he had, I don't want to set anybody off, but he had been basically thinking of killing himself in our house. And he told me, because I asked him, you know, I had taken suicide training, and this is what they had told me to do. I don't know whether this is right or not, but I had asked him, like, do you have a plan? Or, like, and he told me what his plan had been. He was going to do it in our bedroom. It was quite awful. And like I said, that wasn't totally out of the ordinary for him, but he had been fine for quite a long time before that. And it just the fact that it set in, like, so fast while he was in that house, and then it took a while for him to come out of it, like a few months for him to come out of it after he left. So I don't know, it was like a pattern. And then the last thing I'll say is we eventually I got pregnant, and we moved out. My parents gave us a little bit of money for a down payment to buy a house. And so we moved out, but it all happened quite fast. Like, when we found the house we were going to buy, and we ended up being a couple days short on being able to give a month's notice to our landlords. And we were on really good terms with our landlords. We didn't want to leave them hanging. And so we said, if we find you tenants for the house, for this rental, would you be okay with us getting out of the lease early? And they said, yeah, that would be all right. We trust your reference. And so friends of ours were actually moving back from across the country, and they were a married couple, and they needed a place to live, and the dates lined up, and it was just like pure luck. And so it was great. This was a great couple, really trustworthy, mature, all that stuff. And so the landlords were like, yeah, sounds great. And the thing is, they ended up splitting up while they lived in that house. I think it was within a year of living there, or maybe two tops. Like, it wasn't very long. They ended up splitting up and getting a divorce. They never got back together. So it's all, you know, it's all probably a coincidence, but I know that house felt dark to me. It was dark literally, physically, but it always had this, you know, after I had lived there a little while, I realized that it just had this dark feeling to it. And the fact that so many people were so affected in that house, whether they had a history of it or not, it just seemed to, even if it kind of fit their pattern, it seemed to just make things worse. And I don't know I don't know. You know, we looked into the history, to be honest. I went down to the library archives and looked up the history, and nothing, wasn't any record that I could find of anything bad ever happening. But who knows? I always wonder about spaces. You know, did someone abusive live here and there's just maybe a vibration left from that or something? Or the only other thing I could think of was, like, it was literally right along the train track, like the... here in Calgary, we call it the C train, but LRT or like a, not subway because it's not underground, but whatever, light rail travel, the train. It went right in front of the house. So there was actually no road in front of the house. It was just like a sidewalk and then a fence and then a train track. And I sometimes wondered if, like, I don't know, I've never seen anything like this, but it just seemed like maybe like all that energy moving past, or like, I know in, feng shui, like living on a crossroads is supposed to be bad luck because the energy just like flows through your house. And this train didn't go towards our house, it went past our house, but it just always seemed like maybe that could be somehow tied to it. Maybe somebody else could call in and say if they think that there's any stock to be put in that. But yeah, I just wanted to share after hearing that story tonight in that episode. And again, thanks for the great stories. You guys are awesome. Can't wait to hear what you think about this. All right. Take care. Bye.
This has been a Grave Confession
from the Grave Talks. To share your grave confession experience with the paranormal or the undead, call toll-free 888-GHOST-13. That's 888-446-7813.